Yeah.
Do you guys appreciate good worship? Anybody here? Four people appreciate you, Bill.
Just wanted to pass that word along.
Who was it that clapped? I got prizes. Late. This is so for you too. This is super cute. Yeah. She's part of the worship team. It's hard for me to say no to somebody who's actually on the worship team. Clapping for the worship team is good, but being on the worship team is, I don't know. Let's see if I can make this thing work. There. That's better. Anybody having a good time today? Nope. Just me. About to have so much fun. Hey, grab your Bibles. Do you guys own a Bible? Anybody in the room own a Bible? Have a Bible? Got a Bible with you? Grab a Bible. Get one with you. Justin, will you grab? There's a box in there full of Bibles. And spread them out. Lord Jesus, help us. We need Bibles. Will you flash me the first slide, Timothy? Here's the thing I want you guys to be aware of. We're about to embark on a journey. It's all exciting. Apparently my wife thinks the slide is horrible. She's saying it's horrible. We're about to embark on a yellow and red journey together. I'm just not very creative and gifted, so forgive me. Is it right? Well, you don't have to look at it for very long. Just for an hour. Turn off the lights and look okay. Lord be with us. We're about to embark on a journey. Here's the thing. So all joking aside, and this, the horrible slide aside, maybe we'll flash it back to just the refuge thing. Okay. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1 for a bit. And here's where we're going, just so you know. Here's where we're going. We're going to embark on a journey of life change. Life change. Life change. It's good. Yeah. They say repetition is good for the young mind. Life change. Romans chapter 1. Life change. We're going to start in verse 5, and we're just going to read verses 5 and 6. Here we go. Ready? Oh, are we still passing out Bibles? Tyler, you're such a man of God. What page is it on in the house Bible? 780? Page 780.
Did you watch that?
Oh, you need the paperback. You need the paper. 780 on the paperback. Don't. Yeah, that's. You got that hardback pew Bible. Lord Jesus, be merciful. That's a New American Standard version. Yikes! So, some of you know what I'm talking about, some of you have no idea. I guess I should turn my Bible to not 780. Page 1252. Whatever page you're on, Romans chapter 5, chapter 1 and verse 5. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. Through him, who's him?
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, help us. Did you guys do good? Snap 2. Who's him?
Jesus.
Thank you. Who said Jesus wasn't fun? I'm just saying. Through him and through his namesake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. Oh, we're coming back to that. And you also are among those who are being called to Jesus Christ. That'll do for now, but don't lose that Romans chapter 1. Don't lose the place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you love us. And you've called some of us to be apostles and to call men to yourself, to draw men to yourself from all nations, creeds, tribes, and tongues. You've called us to be your ambassadors. And we just thank you for that opportunity. We praise you, Lord, for those who don't yet know you, that we have an opportunity to share who you are with them. So be with us tonight and help the Giants to keep winning. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. That was, never mind. Okay. Some of you have been called to Jesus Christ. Some of you in this room have been called to Jesus Christ. So what's that mean? It means that you are His now. That you belong to Him. That He has ownership over you. That He has shown you amazing favor. And so this is what it says. Watch this. It says, let's go back to verse 5. Through Him and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to call people from the Gentiles to and ready for this. The obedience that comes from faith. I want to talk to you tonight about the obedience that comes from faith. The obedience that comes from faith. And it's an extraordinary story, but there's this sense that if you believe somebody, you're more willing to do what they've asked. Some of you know that I am a runner, or maybe I should say a part-time, insignificantly distanced runner, but I try. Mr. Vanderwall is an actual runner, having completed, how many marathons have you? One? Two? Two complete marathons. Anybody have any idea how long a marathon is? It's 26.2 miles. Can you imagine running 2 miles? Some of you are just like, I pass out of 2 miles. 26.2 miles. Half a marathon? Mrs. Madison? That's so awesome.
All right.
My longest distance to date is about 11 miles. I'm not even close. Not even in the same league as these runners. But I like to run anyway. I like to run anyway. So one of the things that happened to me along my personal running journey, by the way, I have my running shoes on, say, yep. Along my own personal running journey, one of the things that happened to me is I was trying to expand my distance. And so I was running a loop in Wenatchee that was 10 miles. So I parked my car, and then I'd run this loop. And it was a beautiful place to run. It was along the riverbank. And so you run down the river, and then you cross a bridge, and then you run down the river on the other side, cross another bridge, and then back to where you parked. It was a gorgeous place to run. It was about 10 miles. And the first time I ran it, I got done, I felt really good. I was feeling excited about it. So later the same week, I did it again. So it was 20 miles in the same week. About mile 19, I started experiencing some significant hip pain. It was not good. Not good at all. So I'm running along, and I've got this hip pain. And so I don't know if you've ever seen a crippled giraffe, but I kind of, a little gangly, I don't know. So I was running along, and some of you aren't laughing because you don't get it. Lord help you. I was running along, and I got back to my car, and then, you know, I went home, basically, I told my wife I hurt myself, and she kind of went, well, maybe you ran too much. So, eventually, I got to the place where I had to go and get some physical therapy. Anybody in the room ever had physical therapy? Okay. About half a dozen of us have had physical therapy. I went to the physical therapist. And the physical therapist looks at me and asks me a bunch of questions, and then he runs me through a whole battery of tests and, you know, jump on one foot, literally, jump on one foot, take your shoes off and walk across the room and walk back and all these weird things that I'm like, dude, are you going to help me with my hip? And he's like, I'm walking across the room. So I followed his directions all along, and eventually, after I've been back about three times, he puts me on the treadmill, and he's like, okay, so just run for a while. And then he goes off to see another patient, so I'm running and running and running. I'm like, you're coming back for me, it's, you know, like looking at the treadmill. So, there we go. Finally, he comes back, and he stands in front of me, and he watches me run, and I'm like, oh, maybe we're getting somewhere, so we watch him. And then I get off the treadmill, and he does some more measurements and more tests. And then he says, I'm going to change your gait. Change your gait. Some of you who've run for a little bit of time know changing someone's gait is actually dangerous. The reason it's dangerous is because people have a natural stride. Their foot strikes the ground in the same way, and their foot rolls the same way, and their body mechanics are one way. It's sort of the way you go based on who, you know, how your body works. And so he said, well, change your gait. And I started to panic a little bit because I've heard stories about people who had their gait changed, and then they had major, like, catastrophic injury. Like, their iliotibial band begins to stretch, and the next thing you know, their knee's all swollen up, and they can't run at all. And so I'm like... But what happened is we had built enough relationship, I began to trust him. And I had his card. Have you ever had a business card where there's a name on it and then some initials afterwards? Some of you guys are so young, you're like, what's a business card? Small piece of cardstock. It's like Facebook on paper. So some of you, that's just for you. Look at that. You like it. Some of you have seen this. So this guy has his name, and his name is about, I don't know, 12 letters or whatever. And then the initials after his name take up the rest of the business card. He's like ASCPLNNOPQRSTUVWXYZ. And I'm looking at his name and his initials, and I'm like, I don't even know what the heck this whole alphabet is. He has next to his business card, it's like a little bio on who this guy is. He basically had enough school to have been a doctor three times over, but instead he was doing physical therapy. But so school upon school upon school, and then a practicum, and then he did an internship, and then after that he did this, and then he did that. And I'm just like, Guatemala, and, you know, he trained people for the Olympics. Literally, I'm not making that part up, he helped train people for the Olympics. So I'm thinking, maybe I should trust this guy. Maybe I should obey this guy based on my faith in this guy. We developed a relationship, he had credentials, he was clearly very intelligent, he knew what he was doing. And because of that, I had a faith in him to do something I really didn't want to do in changing my gait, because it was a scary thing. But I did it anyway because I had faith in him. There's an obedience that comes with faith. And the same thing is true with your friends, with your parents, with your... whoever it is, your aunts and uncles, some of them, you don't have any faith in them. And when they tell you to go do something, you're like, you don't know what to think about. But there are other people in your life, you have built a relationship of trust, and when they ask you to do something, you're more willing to do it. There's a faith that comes through obedience. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I want to show you another video here. And
it's my turn.
This video is a video by two guys. They're called the Skit Guys. They're quite fantastic. And they're illustrating a kind of a faith-based obedience. So the thing that God wants to do in your life here is about changing you from who you are into who He wants you to be. Changing you into the image of His Son, the way that He's described in His Word. And it's not always easy. It's very, very difficult. But there's this thing about Him, you see, He loves you. And there's this thing about us that He won't do anything that we don't let Him do. So the question is, do you really believe He is who He says He is? Do you really have the faith to do the things that you don't want to do because He's asked you to do them? The hard things. Faith. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. It's hard to see God. We get a sense of God. We can experience God in our spirit. The Bible says if you look around, you see God's creation. And anyone, the Bible's... This is the New Chris translation. Anyone with a brain can look at creation and see God there. You don't have to seek distant lands to find God. No, He's right there. When people say, and people have said this to me all the time, I'm really looking for God, but He's not there. You want to talk about looking for God. If you look for God for 5 seconds, He'll be there. And I talk to people later who have said that, and then they come back and they say, okay, it's not like God was hiding. He was there. God doesn't hide. He's infinitely big, kind of hard to hide. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Being sure of what you hope for begins with salvation. Salvation is the essential act of faith. In fact, it says in Ephesians, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. You see, faith is the linchpin that gets us to the place where salvation is even possible. Without faith, we can't have salvation. It's His free gift to us, and yet He doesn't release it unless we believe. We have to believe. But if we believe, then we don't just believe for salvation. We believe for the bigger things. Jesus said, I didn't come just so that you might live. He said, I came that you might have life to the full. Greater things. Life to the full. Abundant life. Huge, extravagant, extraordinary life. The kind that everyone else envies. And why do they envy? Not because we have stuff, but because we believe in the risen Savior. We do the things He asks us to do. Obedience is about faith. Obedience is about faith. Descriptions of faith are found all throughout the Bible. We've got faith, we've got healing, we've got faith that leads to salvation, we've got faith that leads to all kinds of sicknesses that are, you know, people are restored, we've got people raised from the dead, we've got Jesus who like hammers on His disciples because of their lack of faith. We have the perfect example of that when Peter says, Lord, if it's you, can I come to you get out of the boat and walk to you? Jesus walking on the water, right? He says, yeah, come on out. Peter goes, okay, this is cool. He's walking on water, super excited. Da-da-da-da-da. Next thing you know, he's about to drown because of his lack of faith. You can have faith and lose it just like that. And then what's Jesus do? He doesn't let him drown. No. Jesus reaches down, grabs onto him, and pulls him out. Faith is this huge thing, overarching throughout the Bible. Let me show you something about it. Look with me in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21. We're going to read a little bit about the antonym, the opposite. We're going to read about some people who don't have faith here. So Romans chapter 1, what page is it on? 780. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God, nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile, and the foolish hearts were darkened. These are people who don't have faith. They don't really believe God is who He says He is. And then watch what happens. Verse 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of God for the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Did you see what happened there? The opposite of faith is this unfaith. And where is it found? It's hinged right here. It says that they traded the truth of God for a lie. Verse 25, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. We do this all the time. So sad. We exchange the truth of God for a lie. Jesus, talking about Satan, said Satan is the father of lies. And He doesn't just come as Satan, this big, grotesque, ugly demon with sulfurous breath and big puffs of nasty pustules coming out. That's not how He shows up. Satan shows up as an angel of light. And He tells you what you want to hear. He He tells you what you want to hear. He doesn't tell you, if you do this thing, here's the truth, this horrible consequence will fall upon you. No, he tells you what you want to hear. And we begin to exchange the truth of God for a lie. If obedience is through faith, disobedience is when we believe the lie. When we believe the lie. In fact, I'm stealing this phrase from Rick Warren, but basically he says that anytime a sin happens, it's because we have exchanged truth for a lie. We believed what was not true. Let me show you. There are people who believe that money will solve all their problems. Okay, is that true? I'm sorry, what? Is that true? It's not true. But you know people like this. They believe that if they have enough money, then their problems will just dissolve miraculously. No more problems. I have enough money now, it's all good. I can buy the house, I can buy the car, I can buy my girl things. I can buy whatever I need. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about stuff. Everything will be taken care of. And they believe the lie. They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So what's the truth of God when it comes to money? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He will take care of us. Jesus gave the example when his disciples began to complain. He said, look, the birds don't reap or sow, and yet God provides for them. The flowers of the field are more beautiful than Solomon in all his splendor, and yet they didn't work a day in their lives for the beauty they got. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. In other words, everything you need will be taken care of. Everything that you need will be taken care of. The truth of God is that we can't buy our way into happiness. And yet we see it happen over and over and over again where people get rich and then they think everything's going to be okay and it's not okay. In fact, lottery winners as a lot, the group of lottery winners, are the most miserable people on earth. Not making this up. Google it if you don't believe me. Lottery winners become miserable. I'm not joking. Why? They've exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They begin to sin. They fall into all kinds of temptation. They have family members that want stuff from them. The truth of God for a lie. The question is, what's the lie that we're believing? What's the lie that we're believing? You see, God wants us to have abundant life, but we have to be obedient. And our obedience is born by faith. So, this is the launching point. It's the starting point. It's the thing that's going to propel us forward. And I want you to get this. So close up your Bibles and look at my face. In order to obey, you need to believe. In order to obey, you need to believe. You need to believe God is who he says he is. And if you can start from there, you can begin to unravel the lies that you have believed that have led you to the place where your sin starts. And there's all kinds of sins we can talk about. There's a ton of them. There's no shortage of them. In fact, one of them is listed right here. It talks about, in verse 26, because of them, he gave them over to the shameful lust, even exchanging their women, exchanging natural relations with unnatural ones, and the men do the same thing. It talks about homosexuality right here. That's just one of them. It's not the worst one. By the way, let me say this, because there's this huge, misunderstanding about homosexuality. Ready for this? It's not any worse than heterosexuality outside of marriage. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Homosexual sex, heterosexual sex, anything else that ends in the word sex, It's wrong outside of marriage. It's clear. And it's all the same amount of wrongness. People think homosexual sex is the worst kind. No, it's not. It's the same kind of wrongness as a man and wife, and where the man is cheating with his secretary. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. All of it. But they believe the lie. They believe the lie. The lie is easy to spot, right? What's the lie? The lie is the fulfillment and gratification of my flesh is more important than obeying God's law. If it feels good, do it. That's a very common lie. And the truth is, we all know that if you've played this out, if you follow this lie to its conclusion, what do you see? You see people's marriages breaking up. You see people who later on down the road have an unhappy marriage because of the things that they did when they were young. And those things carry on in their lives. There's a classic example of this. I was watching a TV show called House. Have you guys ever heard of it? TV show called House. And sometimes House is really good, and sometimes House is really bad. And sometimes House believes the lie. There was this one particular episode that I watched where House had an encounter with a woman who believed that she had, ready for the quotes, an open marriage. And an open marriage is a marriage where the husband and wife give each other liberty to go and have sex with whoever they want. And it's supposed to be okay. If you do it, it's okay. And if I do it, it's okay. And so he called it a unicorn. Rightly so. Because an open marriage is also a mythical creature. It does not exist. There isn't one that's happened. And what happened, if you watch the episode, anybody see that? Just out of curiosity. Okay, a handful of you guys saw that. What happened is, Hollywood told the truth. God bless them. It showed down the line that eventually got to the place where the husband had never, ever gone away from his wife. And he didn't like the idea, in fact. And every time she did, it hurt him in his heart. He said, it's okay, you go. It'll be fine. But in his heart, it tore him in half to know that his wife was with another. It wasn't okay. He believed the lie. The lie being, it's okay to break God's commandment as long as we do it together. Do whatever you want as long as it feels good. But when we believe the lie, it leads to sin, and sin leads to death and condemnation. If you don't believe the lie, it's a lot harder, but I promise it will go well with you. There's just a huge number of lies that we believe. So between now and then, what I need you to do is begin to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what are the lies that I believe? In what way have I traded your truth for a lie? And how is that influencing me to go and sin? Have you traded the truth for a lie that it's more important to be popular than it is to be righteous? Because that's a lie that a lot of us fall into. It's more important to be popular than it is to be holy. And that lie leads us to all kinds of evil. Like turning on our friends because it'll gain us popularity with someone else. Or doing things with our boyfriend and girlfriend that we don't really want to do, but we're going to do it anyway because that will gain us popularity. What are the other lies that we believe? We trade a truth for a lie, and it leads us to sin. Don't do it, children. Don't do it. Is God who he says he is? Let me bring this down. If God is who he says he is, then all of the lies that Satan tries to bring to us that we say no to eventually lead to life. If God is who he says he is, then that means that doing what he's asked us to do will bring us joy and pleasure. So here's let me give you just a little bit. One of the things that means is that if God is who he says he is, then sex inside of marriage is better than sex outside of marriage. Yup. Just saying. It is true. Ask some married folks. It is true. Ask your parents.
Hello.
Gracie doesn't have to. Right? That's what it means. That's fantastic, right? If God is who he says he is, then righteousness is more important than popularity. Which means that you can be an unpopular kid, all growing up, even into college.
I know you're popular in college.
I like to pretend. And then it all works out. And then eventually you get to the place where even high schoolers want to hang out with. Well, I wouldn't go that far. But if you trade the truth for a lie, it will lead to sin. So ask, Lord, what have I done? What have I done? I want to give you guys a few minutes right now, and I want you to pray about this right now. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, what truth have I given away? What lie have I believed? And how is that influencing me now? I'll tell you one of my... I have often believed that I was better at figuring out what was good for me than God was. And that led me to make foolish decisions about my personal behavior because I thought I could get away with stuff. I thought, well, it's not really that bad. Anybody believe that a little sin is just a little sin and it's not that big a deal, so it's okay? What about the popularity one? Anyone believe that popularity was more important than holiness? Because I've done that one before. Yeah. Anyone ever believe that a relationship that you knew was wrong was okay because you could handle it? Not a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, even a friendship relationship. I can be friends with this person and it'll be okay because I can handle it. How about this one? Anyone believe that God really doesn't love me that much? Just now starting to get real. Some of you are starting to understand. You're beginning to see. How about this one? This is a girl one. I can't be complete if I don't have a man. That's a really popular one. Anybody else want to share one? Sometimes guys do believe that. Can't be complete without a girl. What else? The outside is more important than the inside. That is a huge one. Even it showed up in the video. People think about me all the time. Or, from God's perspective, you're comparing yourself to someone else when you ought to be comparing yourself to my standing. Or, people think about the sin that I committed all the time. from God's perspective, he's saying, or you're saying, it's okay to hold high. It's okay to hold other people to a higher standard than you hold yourself to. Yeah. Yeah, the lie. What's the lie? Yeah, the lie is, I can never be forgiven. That one is huge. I can never be forgiven. Yeah. I think we all do this to some extent, right? We give God this part, and we keep this part for us. The lie is that God's satisfied with most of us. No, let me say that a different way. The lie is that God is satisfied with almost all of you. The truth is God wants 100%. He's not satisfied with anything less. What else? I'm not good enough. Yeah, I've experienced that one. I'll tell you a story. When I was hired here, I hadn't been here for more than a few months, and I was listening to myself recorded, and I was preaching. And I thought to myself, literally, you're going to laugh. I'll never be a great preacher because my voice doesn't sound good enough. All the great preachers have these really cool, like, radio voices. And mine is this kind of squeaky, high-pitched, weird thing, especially when I get excited.
We still love you, Pastor Chris.
I never noticed it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough. How about this one? If God knew, he wouldn't love me anymore. Yeah, we probably all believe that one. Adam believed that one. Right, he hid from God. Oh, Adam, where are you? What else? What else? One more. What else? Lies that we believe. Everybody else is doing it. So what's the lie? If everyone else does it, it's okay. If everyone else is doing it, it's okay. That is a lie.
Not everybody else is doing it.
True. And you're right. There are two lies there. Here's what I want for you guys to do. And so, only obey my request if you trust me. Only do what I'm asking if you believe that I'm actually speaking for God. Right? Because obedience is only as good as the faith you have in the person asking. If you really believe that God can speak through me, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to spend the next week asking God what lies you believe. Ask him and he'll tell you. He'll tell you. And for some of us, that's going to be really hard. Because he's going to say something and you're going to say, that's not a lie, God. And then you're calling him a liar. So we have to be careful, but this is a big deal. I want to pray now, and I want to pray with you, I want to pray for you, but I want to challenge you to pray in your own spirit too. Because this is an opportunity. Every time that someone's praying, it's an opportunity for you to pray too. And here's the thing I want to say to you about prayer, that God is ever present. He's here, he's now, and he wants to speak to you here and now. there's a connection that can be had with the eternal God here and now. You just have to open your spirit and ask Him to connect with you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are not the Father of lies, but you are the Father of light. I pray tonight, Jesus, that you begin to shine the light on our lives, that even as David cried out, "Search me, O God, and know me." May there be nothing hidden from you. I pray, Jesus, that you would wash us anew and reveal to us the lies that we have believed, so that we might come to a greater sense of faith, that we might walk in righteousness, and that those things, those sins that have trapped us, that we have gone round and round and round and round with, denouncing them only to return to them, that those things would begin to be revealed where the lie is, so that we might believe the truth and be set free. Be with us this time. We will give you the glory for it all. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.